book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 through 8, and he called it Nehushtan. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fence city. This right here, these eight verses of Hezekiah, are a textbook on how to live right before God. And he said that none before him or none after lived this way, and that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So when we see something like that, we should take note, and we should consider the way. It's a pretty good testimony. In verse 4 it said, and this is very important. Matter of fact, I think he's the only one, it might have been another, but he removed the high places. And that was a big deal. He removed the high places and he broke the images. And the brazen serpent that had even been used to heal the children of Israel back when the plague during the Exodus. And so what he actually did was he took the natural. Now you think about that. He took the natural from his religion. I read a quote this week, and it said, and this quote really, really got me. It really meant something to me. All worldly things are show. Nothing solid, and all will be quickly gone. They're all temporal things, you see. And I can tell you from going on 75 years that's more than truth. So when we look at the Bible, when we look at our religion, let's see if we can merge these calls. That'll be on the recording, I guess. There we go. I think we have them. Got George and Jeff. When we look at our religion, we know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so when you had these groves, the brazen serpent, any other such art, these are natural things. They are temporal things. So how do you receive these things? Because they're spiritually discerned. Everything about this book, and that's the difference in most folks. They believe it's spirit, but in truth it's natural, not carnal. Now knowing this, I want you to think about how natural that your religion is. I was praying earlier this week, and I received a word. And I was asking, I was praying about peace in my mind. And I received a word also to pray for peace in this body. Because this mind has to live in this body, in this temporal body. And so, in a sense, I think of when I die and I pass, I'm going to be free of this thing. Because this carnal body is temporal. And it's just like the high places. It's just like the groves. Just like the churches. I drive by the tabernacle now, and I'm so glad that I'm gone from that thing. It's gone. Places that we used to live, I can go back and look at a picture, and I'm so glad that I'm gone from those places. They're gone. And perhaps when you're older, you'll come to appreciate such things as that. Peace, and not only mind, but body. It's hard to explain, because until you reach it, when you wake up every day, and every day is a battle. Every day. And I'm not talking about a small battle. I'm talking about, am I going to live through this day? What happens is the world, they turn to Satan for such things. One of the most popular venues now is yoga. And that's not only in evangelical circles. They have all sorts of religious artifacts. It might be a cross. It might be an icon, something that someone they can look at, and all of a sudden they get a fuzzy religious feeling, you know. Oh, this was Grandma's Bible or whatever. A statue, a symbol, an emblem. A lot of times as humans we turn to substances, turn to drugs, we turn to alcohol, even sexual pleasures. Anything worldly to appease our carnal religion, our flesh. You see, searching for peace is not only mind, but body. Because we live in this body. And the natural has a great attraction because we're flesh. And pretty much, if you think about your life during the day, it's pretty much the flesh is the ruling party. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. Well, that doesn't have to do with the mind. And so the flesh has a great appetite for pleasure. I had a coworker once, and she was large in stature, and I thought this was very unusual. This was years ago. And she told me that she desired food more than sexual pleasure. And I thought that was a very queer statement. Very, very unusual. Very unnatural. I thought it strange. And then this past week, I had to go to San Antonio for a doctor's appointment. I'm listening to a local radio station up there. And they were asking folks if they'd rather have a woman that could cook or a woman that could provide their physical needs. And 90%, easily, 90%, 9 out of 10, matter of fact, only one guy desired the woman that could provide the pleasures. They all wanted the woman that could provide food. One of the hosts said, he said, he believed that it was due to a lack of testosterone in our society. That may seem like a small thing to you, but it's not. It's a huge thing. We have feminized the men of our society. And so we have a lack of interest in even procreating. And it's a modern bane of our society. It makes no sense to me because nature teaches otherwise. I can go to McDonald's and get something to eat. We just grew up different. So Hezekiah, he removed the high places. And he was one of the very few to do that thing. Even today. Because you have to think of it today. Because we've all our religions and our high places. It might be a building you attend every Sunday. It is for most people. But you don't ever find that in the New Testament. Not one time. Not even one time. You don't find an altar where they had an altar call. You don't find a stained glass window. You don't find a, you know, anything religious like that at all. Not the first time. But I can drive you around town, in almost any town, and I can show you the high places. Hezekiah called the brazen serpent Nehushtan. And that literally means a piece of brass. Today we've got pieces of brass. We've got pieces of wood, stone, glass, candles, all sorts of things. We've got one church in town, and I remember when they built that thing. And they went up the country and they got a special kind of wood. And they put the wood together in a special kind of place so that they wouldn't, a special kind of way, so that they wouldn't use nails and such. I think they used pegs or what. I'm not a carpenter. But they built it in a very special manner, you see. That particular church. And that church has had nothing but trouble. I lost count of the amount of pastors that they had, the death that's been involved in that church, splits in the congregation. Oh yeah, and it's a King James Bible believing church. I had written down one of two in town, but actually there's three. We're sitting in one, I guess. We're a King James Bible believing church anyway. But we gave up the building years ago. The Nehushtan, you see. Now the other King James Bible church in town, they actually built a new building. What a lot of people don't know is that they actually took a King James Bible and built it into the wall above the door. Did you know that? Above the door when you walk in, it's in the wall. That's what I'm told. Maybe they have another one on the pulpit. I don't know. You get the point. Nehushtan. The Bible's going to do a lot of good in the wall. Everybody get real religious. Oh, we got a Bible in the wall. You see. Over in George West, Texas, not too far from here, they got a cowboy church. Got a rodeo arena. Nehushtan. You know, kind of like the Greeks. Oh, we don't have statues. We have icons. Oh, we don't have icons and statues. We have a rodeo arena. Nehushtan. And I'm not even talking of Papists, of Roman Catholics, you see, but so-called evangelicals. Read last night in Nigeria. Did you see it? A Pentecost church in Nigeria. 31 people killed at a Pentecostal church in Nigeria. Stampede for free food. Evangelical church, you see? You see, and the churches, they're like fast food restaurants. Everything quick and easy. You place your order. Would you like a potluck dinner? You go to this church. A certain kind of music? You go to this church. A rodeo? Whatever you want. A sports for the kids? You go with this. You see? And you might say, well, what do you have, preacher? Well, I got the truth. I'm being very serious there. What else you have? I don't have anything else. Sorry. I just have the truth. Nothing but the truth, you see. I had a fella years ago, and I had more than one, but I remember this particular fella. And he we used to play pretty good music. And he said, you know, if you'd play more of that music, you'd fill up the church. Nehushtan. Yeah, because they'd be coming for the music. You say, well, you'd get them in there, and well, that's what we do in car sales. You see. Am I against music? No. I'm against Nehushtan. You see, this body, this is, hey, James. James. Look at me. There you go. This body is the temple. This. And this is what I'm interested in. Because if you're in Christ, you remember we preached that there's one greater than the temple. Do you not have Christ in you? The brethren. That's what I'm concerned about. The sheep. Always have been. Caused a lot of trouble. And that church building we used to, it became an onus to our work. It became a burden. It became Nehushtan. It had to go. I love everybody. If you know me, you know I like music. I listen to music all the time. Melissa and I are going down the road, and if a song comes on, I usually know the words, don't I? And I'm talking about the 60-year-old songs, okay? But not in church. And so folks, they tell me, they say, well, you're listening to secular music. Yeah. I drive a secular truck. Y'all know that? I live in a secular house. I put secular gas in the truck. Secular toothbrush. I don't have special holy shoes. I live in a secular world. I'm not of, but I live in a secular world. I listen to weather reports. They hardly ever talk about Christ on those weather reports. Matter of fact, I don't believe they ever have. I listen to news reports, you see. I don't do any of those things in church. I work a secular job. I've got secular cattle. I eat secular food at secular cafes. Okay? You get the point? But here they come with their Nehushtan. They always have to come with their Nehushtan. If you go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, I think we might have read this verse in the past few weeks. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Oh, wow. You know who didn't like that? The religious people. I had two interesting encounters this week. I saw a man I hadn't seen for a while. And he followed me out to the truck, and I climbed in the truck at the place of business, and I turned the truck on, and the radio was on, and he said, "Hey, you're rocking out." I don't know, there was something playing on the radio. And I said, "Well, the radio's on." And he said, "Well, that's not gospel music." Yeah, I'm not listening to the gospel news either. I don't have the gospel Fox News on, you see. Nehushtan. And then in the middle of the week, I played in a weekly golf scramble. And one of the guys I played with, his ball marker was a cross. He used a little silver cross for a ball marker as he cussed his way around the golf course. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nehushtan, you see. Religious in symbol only. Is that my religion? Gospel music and crosses? Is that my religion? A certain way to dress? Is that my religion? Is that what keeps me going? Is that what's going to get me to heaven? Is that what makes me holy? Nehushtan, the high places, the groves, the crosses, the stained glass window. How many wonderful works. I spoke with a man this week, and he was telling me about some folks out in West Texas and how honest they were. And they were Church of Christ and I think Christian Scientists. And he said, but the people are so clean and so honest. And boy, they really know their Bible verses. And I said, "Well, did you have a witness they were born again?" He said, "No. But they're clean and they're truthful and they know their Bible verses. Yeah, they make good neighbors." You know, you might want to read Matthew 7 one more time. When they called him Lord, it's one of the most sobering passages in all of Scripture. Lord, Lord, hadn't we done many wonderful works? Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils? You see? But where's the Holy Spirit? That's the New Testament. That's Christ. The Comforter. The Holy Ghost. Spirit-filled, born again, children of God. You know the music our church I attend? Listen to me. The music or the church I attend doesn't have the first thing to do with going to heaven. You say, how can you make that statement? Because the music and the church I attend doesn't have the first thing to do with going to heaven. Can you hear that? What has to do with me going to heaven is of God. Is the fact that I was chosen before the foundation of the earth, predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not one other thing. And me going to church every Sunday doesn't have any more of me going to heaven than me eating lunch every day. Should I go to church? Yeah, of course I should. Should I eat lunch? Yeah. What I'm trying to get you to do is to separate the groves, the Nehushtan, from true religion. Being conformed to the image of His Son is the only image I'll ever need or require. Not brass, simply spirit and truth. And finally, in closing, if you turn to Luke chapter 4. Don't you find it interesting that the Lord tried to always get away from crowds? Did you ever see Him rush into crowds and say, "Oh, there's a bunch of people I can go heal. There's a bunch of people I can go save." Matter of fact, when He was in crowds, He spoke to them in parables so that they wouldn't get it. Luke chapter 4, verse 25 through verse 27. And He said, "Verily I say unto you that no prophet's accepted in his own country, but I can tell you of a truth." And look at, you want election? I can tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. One widow. One leper. Not any widows. One particular widow. One particular leper. He said, Christ, He said, you come because, He said, you come for the miracles. And the religious people, what they always tell Him? Well, show us a sign. You know, Dol Brymer always told us we had a sign out in front of our church building. A wicked, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And they do. So when you consider your religion, this Nehushtan, this growth. Because when you think about these high places, those people thought that that was the right thing to do. Those people doing the wonderful works, they thought that was the right thing. They cast, I don't have an understanding of that. It's one of the things I would love to ask the Lord this morning. They cast out devils. And he said, I don't even know who you are. I don't know you. You're not the right widow. You're not the... Well, I'm a leper. Yeah, but you're not the right leper. Isn't that interesting? So I ask you, have you got groves or idols in your religion, in your walk? You might be surprised. Look at it. Look at the things you do. Yeah, it's good you do those things. Why? Why? If he hadn't chosen me, I might have ended up religious. All those years, L.R. Shelton, 25 years, a pastor, head of the mission board, unsaved, unconverted. But they had the altar, and they had the stained glass, and they had the cross, and they had the church. Singing "Just As I Am." Amen.